You may have noticed some of these new electronic business signs around town. In fact, they're kind of hard to miss. Some drivers say they are distracting. Joining us today is Bill Mansfield from the Medford Planning Commission to discuss the city's current code and any possible changes to that. Bill, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange this
morning. Thank you, Milt.
Well, it's good to have you here. We've seen these signs starting to crop up in different places, and I guess part of the issue is the difference between a sign that's specifically for the business and what are called advertising signs. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, I distinguish between on-premise signs and off-premise signs. Off-premise signs are the ones that advertise some goods or services that are not being performed or furnished on those premises, whereas the on-premise sign is more of a directional or informational sign, at least theoretically. It instructs people that business is being that activity is occurring there.
Have you had some complaints about some of these new signs?
Well, I don't know whether the citizenry has complained or not. Let's hope that some people call in and talk about that today. The planning staff has brought it to our attention. I mean the Planning Commission, and so they're saying, would you study it? I believe that's its genesis. It'd be interesting to hear whether or not citizens are concerned. I hope they are.
Well, we're discussing today the new electronic signs that are going in around Medford. Some of these are quite large, bright at night occasionally, although some of those, I believe, are regulated somewhat. If you have a question or a complaint that you have about big electronic signs, you can call us here on the Jefferson Exchange. Our toll-free number, 800-838-3760, in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, or send us an email to jx@jeffnet.org. Now, some of the signs, are they owned by individual businesses, or are they owned by companies that come in and subcontract to put up signs?
I think some of them are probably owned by individual businesses that are in the business of furnishing and maintaining signs. But I don't. Some of them may be owned by the owners of the business. It would be interesting to talk with people that have the sign at Biddle and McAndrews.
Is that People's Bank? Is that
no?
Correct?
People's Bank is over on Barnett Road in Highland.
Those
are the two ones that we've been focusing on. There may be others in town. The People's Bank is advertising all kinds of medical services and all kinds of things that are not being performed in that building. I do remember here 6 months ago when we did review that request for a sign, but it was not reviewed with that in mind at the time. It was reviewed with the question of whether or not it offended other residential owners, and we determined that it was not. So the emphasis here is not on whether it adversely affects other people in the neighborhood. We have all kinds of machinery in the code that deals with that. We have a whole procedure for that.
Do we have a danger in Medford specifically or the Rogue Valley in general of this sort of getting out of control and us turning into a mini Las Vegas? Or do we want to try to rein that in early and define that with some changes in the code?
Well, I can't speak for the other commissioners. I believe that they're all interested at least in studying the matter, and that's all we're doing at the present time, and I probably shouldn't make an absolute commitment myself either, because I will be sitting on the Planning Commission and making along with all the other planning commissioners and voting on that issue. My predilection, however, is to oppose off-premise signs. The theory depends on your perspective on this matter. When I was in the Soviet Union several decades ago, there were no off-premise signs. The signs that they had were very limited, by the way, and they only told us about services that were being performed there. I did the same in East Germany. It was interesting that there were just not nearly as many signs. Then years later, I visited both of those countries, visited Russia just here a couple of summers ago, and there's now a proliferation of signs advertising goods and services. And so, although I don't speak their languages very well, it's pretty easy to tell what it's about. So you can see the difference. I'm not advocating a communist system here, by the way. I'm simply noting that in communist countries, they don't have signs that push the sale of products or goods.
Well, I guess some of this has to do with technology that, you know, we've reached a point where you can have a big electronic sign, and proportionally, I assume it's probably come down in price like many other technologies, so it's more affordable for businesses to do that. What are some of the things that you're going to do to study this issue? Are you going to look at other communities that have signs and how they've regulated those?
We will look at other communities, but I'm not a great fan of looking at other communities, frankly. I know we're going to anyhow. I evaluate according to what I think our city needs, not by what others do or don't do. I can tell you that the present code appears to have no concern about whether or not the sign is on-premise or off-premise. Mm-hmm. It does deal with all kinds of I have it here in front of me. There must be 20 or 30 or 40 pages dealing with the issues of how large they can be and whether or not the lights are offensive to neighbors and all of that kind of thing. But there are appear to be no limitations as to whether or not the content of the sign has to advertise on-premise activities. So we can talk eventually when you want to about the question of whether or not the evaluation of a sign as to whether it's content neutral does or does not violate free speech questions.
Well, that's a question I did have. Are you skating on thin ice with First Amendment rights here?
No, I did some research on that. I invited you to ask the question. Now you have.
Well, it was on my list.
Good.
So let's talk about that.
Good. I went to the law library and studied the cases, the Oregon cases on the subject, and it appears that one of the leading cases is a case called Media Art Company versus City of Gates, and they had that very question before them, dealing with off-premise signs. So I'll just read a sentence here. It says, exempting billboards that advertise on-premise activity while not similarly exempting those advertising off-premises activity is not a content-based distinction, although the billboard's message must be evaluated to determine whether it relates to an activity on or off the premises. It is not the content, subject, or viewpoint of that message that determines whether the permit is required. So the Oregon court has in effect held that this is not a violation of free speech.
What about if somebody went and crossed the line, and I know this is a very fuzzy area and difficult to define, but when you talk about community standards, if somebody owned a billboard and they rented out part of their advertising time and space on that billboard for something that was pretty controversial, can you address that, or is that also, does a community just in general have the ability to say, no, that's going too far?
No, it does not. It does not have, a community does, under our free speech rights, both under the federal and the state constitutions, the city does not have the power to determine what is nice speech and what is not nice speech. Not nice speech is just as protected under free speech as nice speech. Indeed, the nice speech is already protected by the citizenry. It's the not-so-nice speech that needs the protection. No, we don't have the power to do that. If there were something that was advertising a product that I'm opposed to, I happen to be opposed to commercial gambling establishments, we would have to allow that sign. If we would not be able to say, no, you can't put it up because we don't like what you're saying.
The signs themselves, you already have some specifications in the code about size, don't you?
Absolutely. It's just loaded with them.
And so what about the brightness factor? I say this because there was a sign. I probably shouldn't name it, but I was driving along at night. It's in a darker section of Medford. And all of a sudden, this thing came on. I guess it had been momentarily dark, and it's the first time I had seen this particular sign. I'd never really noticed it before, and all of a sudden there's this flash of blinding light, and I'm driving at night, it's dark, And I understand, as somebody who's earned a living with advertising paying my salary, I'm not saying bad things about that necessarily, and you want to get people's attention, but this was so glaring and so bright and so obnoxious. I mean, do you have issues with that? Are there ways to regulate the brightness of those signs? Because to me, it could be a safety hazard at night when you're driving.
Well, it's a safety hazard, and it's also a good taste hazard, an artistic hazard. There are people that believe that signs are a blot on the artistic background. And I think all of us have some feeling. If you go to Las Vegas or Reno, you can see that in its extreme. I don't think we want to have that. The answer to your question, Milt, is yes. The ordinance is full of limitations and procedures for limiting signs that are so bright that they could be a danger.
From business owners in Medford, do you generally see pretty good compliance on these issues, or do you have to rein some people in from time to time?
The business community is pretty cooperative. Yeah, we do have the power to shut them down and even take the sign down, but I don't remember in the many years I've been dealing with and for the city of Medford, I don't think they've ever had to prosecute anyone. They go through the courts, which is the civilized way of doing things.
Other than the First Amendment that we talked about, are there any other legal issues as a planning commission that you have to address before you make a change in the code?
I think the answer is no. Although, with my limited in my ignorance, I may not be aware of some other issues that staff may bring to us. Yes, that's possible, but I'm not aware of any real issues. I think the question is, do we want to recommend? You understand the Planning Commission does not change the ordinance.
Correct,
we
yes.
make recommendations to the City Council. And do we want to make a recommendation prohibiting off-premise signs in the City of Medford, I think is the key question. And we will hear people out. We'll have public hearings, probably a couple of them, and we will hear out the industry. We want to hear from the industry because we're not working in the city of Medford to try to stifle business.
We have a call from John in Talent concerning the traffic aspect of signs. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. I find those signs extremely distracting because they change frames very rapidly. And if you're driving and, you know, you need to pay attention to driving and there's one going into Ashland from Talent that, you know, it just changes so fast. You really don't want to get captured by it because then you're putting yourself at danger and everybody else around you. So thank you very much. I'd like to hear your response.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, there are some provisions. I don't put my finger on it right now. But on the electronic signs, there are some provisions dealing with how many seconds the display has to be before it changes. And I agree with John in Talent that lots of changes and lots of glare and things like that could actually affect a person's traffic safety, as well as being an artistic offense.
If you have a question for us this morning, give us a call. We're talking about these big new electronic signs that are going in Medford specifically, but anywhere around the Rogue Valley or elsewhere. You can call us on our toll-free number at 800-838-3760. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, or send us an email to jx@jeffnet.org. How long is this process going to be before you make a recommendation to the council?
I would expect 6 months or more. We want to do it carefully and thoroughly. We don't want to tromp on people, particularly on the business community. So I would expect that we will have hearings probably for at least a couple of hearings, and I'm guessing we won't forward our recommendation up to the city council for perhaps 6 months.
Will they be the final decider, or is this something that would ever go before the voters?
The voters could, by their rights to review ordinances, could review it by way of a vote, but I wouldn't predict that. The city council is the final authority to enact ordinances.
Do you have a sense of how the Medford City Council feels about these big electronic signs. Have they gone, any particular councilman gone on record about this?
I have not heard any input from them. They probably have some thoughts, but I know you had one of your good council members here just yesterday. Mm-hmm. I should have asked him.
As these signs crop up around the area, you talked a little bit about communities and what they feel about it. Do they offer you some input with, if a sign is going up in a particular area? Do you set up some public hearings to get some community input about that?
Yes, it's called a conditional use permit proceeding, and there is a public hearing. It's notified. The people in the nearby area are notified, and then, of course, there's publication notification, so any and all citizens can come and speak. We always like it when a lot of people come down to City Hall and speak their piece. Even when they tell us things that we don't like to hear, we think that's part of good government.
Good government. Mm-hmm. The sign that is on Barnett and the one on Biddle are both, they're close to neighborhoods, but they're not really in a neighborhood, are they? Do you try to, for these type of signs, is that something that you look at specifically?
Oh, we do look at it, Milt. Yes, absolutely. But you're right. Both of those particular signs are not close enough to residential areas that they would have any effect on them. So I think in these two particular cases, we're talking more about artistic limitations than bothering people who are trying to sleep at night.
We have a call from Carter in Wolf Creek who'd like to know why this was not taken care of before the signs were put in place. Go ahead, Carter.
Yeah, I saw the first one on Central. They're near Trader Joe's.
Yes, that's the Verizon sign, isn't it?
Yeah, and when several of us in a car, when we first saw that sign, we had very negative reactions to it. And it reminds me of these most dysfunctional websites, commercial websites that are trying to be a catalog online to try to buy things, and it seems that the only people that can really use those websites is computer geeks. That's my experience with my friends who are, and I don't use them. And those signs are just a kind of a light version of that. And I think that the question that should be being asked here is, are those signs good for business? I think they're bad for business. You know, this whole movement of going local in business doesn't seem to me to fit in with those signs. They're too damn high tech for a going local spirit.
All right, your reaction to that, Bill? What do you think?
Well, my reaction is this is the first input I've heard, and I'm delighted to get some input. I happen to agree with the gentleman, but I hope we get input all the way across the board. I hope to hear also from the business community, as I've indicated. I think the gentleman that just talked would agree with the Ogden Nash little verse here. Most of you have heard it many times, but I'm going to repeat it anyhow. I think that I shall never see a billboard lovely as a tree. Indeed, unless the billboards fall, I may never see a tree at all.
That is good. And, you know, he asked a question about why weren't some of these issues addressed beforehand. In some cases, is it very hard to make a decision? You look at something and you say, well, this looks reasonable and this fits within city code. And then the sign is put up and you go, oh, my gosh, that thing is blaring in the middle of the night.
That criticism is legitimate, but I'd only remind the gentleman, and that is that government is run by people, and people are necessarily imperfect.
It's always easier to have the 2020 hindsight.
Mm-hmm. We're doing something now.
There you go. Heidi is on the line from Medford about people holding signs. Go ahead, Heidi.
Yeah, I mean, this is the low-tech version of advertising. It doesn't have anything to do with those big signs, but I find them very, very distracting. And as a matter of fact, my heart always stops when I see one of them because I think there might have been an accident. They stand on corners advertising Mattress Land or an accountant, and, you know, or whatever, and they are waving their signs frantically around. Sometimes you don't see the signs, sometimes you just see their hands, and I find them a traffic hazard because you do have to take your eye off. You think something terrible is going on. I wonder whether you could do something about that.
Glad Heidi brought that up. That of course, brings forth the eternal conflict between public safety and free speech. It's a tough line to draw. The courts draw it. I understand what she's saying. I agree that if I stop and look at that sign, I may miss the next traffic stop. So that is of concern, and it is a legitimate concern for local government to take into account. I'm glad to get that input also.
Can anyone just walk down to a street corner and hold up a sign? Are there regulations, permits that are required if you're going to have X number of people show up?
I don't think there are regulations on that. I don't know. I don't think you have to have a permit on that, but I'm subject to being corrected if I'm wrong. I'm not aware of any.
You can't interfere with traffic in any way or laws like that, though, right?
Correct. If there is a permit requirement, that would be one of the things that would be considered. Here a few months ago, the Planning Commission, this is a slightly different aspect of signs, but dealt with the question of whether or not the city should require permits for political lawn signs.
Mm, right.
And I discovered that there was a limitation of 3. So I told the rest of the planning commissioners, and I think they were shocked from it, but I said, at the next election, I'm going to have 6 or 8 of them and just dare the city to try to stop me under the rights of free speech. But keep in mind that those kinds of signs are not the kind that Heidi was talking about. They're normally not a distraction. They're simply poor taste.
For most people. Mm-hmm. We've been talking with Commissioner Bill Mansfield from the Medford Planning Commission about a study on regulating signs and billboards in Medford. Thanks, Bill, for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Mm-hmm. Nice to be here.
Good. Coming up, the end of absence, life in the digital age. That's ahead on the Jefferson Exchange.